Luke chapter number 9. If you have your Bible, would you say amen?
Amen.
Bring your Bible with you. If you don't have one, share one with a neighbor. But it's important. We're here to study the Word of God. And this is going to help you grow. So you need to have a Bible with you. Luke 9, these verses have been the cornerstone. Some of you have been here for every message. Some of you have missed one or two. And so I'm not going to go back and re-preach everything. I don't have time to do that. But we're gonna refresh our memory just a minute. But the title of the message is today, The Believer's Authority, what we have been preaching about. But here's the title. And I hear people say this. Why didn't it work? Why didn't it work? According to the Bible, God has given us power and authority. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
But then sometimes people come back and they'll say this, Brother Steve. Well, it didn't work for me. It didn't work in my situation. And then they turn around and they want to blame God. And here's how they cop out, I guess. They'll say, well, I guess it just wasn't God's will. And so we're going to address that this morning. There are passages here in the Bible where it didn't work for the disciples. So what happened? Well, we're going to figure that out this morning. And so here in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and the Bible said, if you've found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Good. And he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them, say it with me, everybody. He gave them what?
Power
and
authority.
Power and authority. He gave them power and authority over all what?
Yes.
Now, the word devils in your King James, and I love the King James, but you know and I know there is but one devil, right? There's not a whole bunch of devils running around. Thank God for that. But there are a lot of demons. And so the word devils here is actually the Greek word demons. So understand that. There is but one devil, but he's got a whole lot of henchmen. He's got a lot of demon spirits. He's got a lot of evil spirits. Now you might say, I've never seen one of them. You don't have to see them to believe in them. How many of you believe in angels? If you believe in angels, you've got to believe in demons. Look around you. Look around the world. Look around the nation. And see the influence that is happening with people. Where does that come from? By the way, we're going to address this a little later. But nobody is born with an evil or a perverted nature. Say amen to that. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
No one is, nobody is born an Adolf Hitler. Where did he get that idea to exterminate the Jews? The devil. Demon spirits. Evil spirits. All right, so let's read on. So here he is in verse 2. Y'all gonna stay with me this morning, right? All right. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, the Lord called the 12 and gave them power and authority over the devil and over demons, over all demonic forces. Do you have that power today? Oh, some of you just, you left me on that one. Do you have that power? Say, I've got the power in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor. All right? Look at your neighbor. Daryl, look at Joanne. All right. I got the power in Jesus' name. Do you have the power in yourself?
No.
Do you have the power in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Do you have the power because of who is living inside of you? Yes. If you are saved, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Think of that. The same power that resurrected Jesus from a dead corpse is the same power that is inside of you. If we laid hold on that, if we could ever get past that misconception in our brain, wow, we would see some things done for God. Luke 10. Brother Keith, I coughed this morning. He thought he was going to have to. Would you say? Oh yeah, he was going to do the Heimlich. Like I said, no, I might need mouth to mouth, but not the Heimlich. Rodney, if I fall out, would you give me mouth to mouth? He's got to think about that.
He was stunned.
What I have is not contagious, so don't worry. I don't have the flu. Hallelujah, glory. Doctor said the other day, he said, I got good news and I got bad news for you. And he said, the good news is this, you have a viral infection. The bad news is this, you have a viral infection. In other words, you just got to wear it out. So I'm wearing her out. Amen. All right, so if I cough, and I try not to cough on you, but I'm not contagious. And if I do, I'll cover myself. I told somebody I'm going to put a plastic bag over my head for the next few weeks. And amen. Y'all will get that after a while. Plastic bag over me. Luke 10, 17. If you're there, say amen. Just a page over. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, the demons are subject unto us. What? Through their name? No. Through his name. Through thy name. And he said unto them, oh, I like this verse. I like this verse. You know why I like this verse? Because the devil is not what he used to be. Amen. Look what the verse says. Jesus said, and he's quoting Isaiah, he said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. He is not what he used to be. God stripped him of his power. Amen.
Yes.
Talk to me now, church. He is stripped of it. Then you say, well, why is he so active today? Because he is the God of this world. But I want to tell you something. For the child of God, you have victory and power and authority over the enemy.
Amen.
Y'all believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
You do not have to be a victim. You do not have to succumb. Hey, listen, you don't have to lay back and just waller and say, hey, there's nothing I can do about it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You have power and authority in Jesus' name. 70 came back, in verse 19. And I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Again, he's not talking about literal snakes here or scorpions. He's talking about evil, demonic creatures. I've said, and I'll say it again. You start bringing a snake in here, we're going to have a round. Amen. He's not talking about, you know, going out and trying to. There was a program on A&E, I believe it was, a few years ago, about these snake handlers in Kentucky. Anybody ever see that? Huh? It lasted for a while until the guy that handled, he got bit and died. And they had to cancel the program. But they said, you know, your faith is a measure of being able to handle the poisonous serpent. I like what Wendy Bagwell said, you know. One time they started breaking out snakes. He looked around and he said, I wonder where they want a back door, because they're going to get one right here real quick. So we're not talking about handling snakes and scorpions and so forth. But he said, I give you power over evil creatures, over demonic spirits, and over the power of the enemy. And what? Nothing. Can y'all say that with me? And what?
Nothing.
Say it again, church. And
nothing.
Nothing by any means shall hurt you. Well, now let's skip on down. We got a lot to say in a short time to say it. There is a modern teaching and preaching that is going across our country today, and I even heard. Oh, bless them, Lord. Joanne, somebody was saying this to me just the other day, and I didn't want to rebuke them on the phone, but they were minimizing demonic powers, I guess is the best way. I'm just going to leave it at that. And it quenched me in my spirit because, in essence, this person that was talking to me on the phone the other, a preacher, was talking to me on the phone the other, and y'all do know that they're, you know, preachers, hey, y'all, preachers can be wrong. Yeah? Yeah? Huh? Yeah? Once in a while, yeah. Thank God for a good one, amen? If you find a good one, stick with it. But anyhow, so he was minimizing demonic powers, and it quenched me in my spirit because demons are real. To deny the existence of demons is to deny the existence of angels, because demons were angels at one time. Y'all do know that, right? They're fallen angels, but they were angels at one time. They are created beings. By the way, demons are not reproducing. Angels are not reproducing. There's the same number today as they were the day that God created. Amen. But now watch something. Demons, my friend, the scripture speaks much about spirits. There is flesh, and then there is spirits. You are a spirit being. Talk to me. You know, somebody just walked out the door. Listen, you are a spirit being. You know how I know that? Because when somebody dies, they're not like an animal. When some of you hunters in here, when you shoot that deer doesn't have a soul. That deer is an animal. When his body dies, he decays, and that's it. But for a man or a woman, when you die, does that end it all? No. Inside of you, you are a spirit being. You're going to live on and on and on, either in heaven or in hell. No in between. No soul sleep. You're not going to lie in the grave. You're not going to rest in the grave. You're going to either be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. Amen. All right. So, most people have a misconception of demons. What their mentality tells them is what Hollywood has shown them on the big screen. They have a misconception that demons are some hideous looking creature, 900 foot tall, big old fangs and big old claws and got some reptilian tail and they, you know, wrap it around you and pull you down to hell. That is what Hollywood wants you to believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. Are demons real? Or should we be afraid of them? No. If you're a child of God, what did we just say? You have power and authority over demons. We do not, listen, Hollywood has conned people into believing, and I believe the devil has used this to where you are afraid of the devil. Oh, he's coming to get me. There's nothing I can do about it. Friend, that's just not the case. The other train of thought is this: to dismiss demons altogether. Some say they don't even exist. The Sadducees in the Bible said they didn't exist. And my friend, Jesus, in Jesus' day, he dealt with demons. He dealt with the spirit world. God is a spirit. And my friend, when you die, your body is going to either go to heaven or, I mean, your body goes back to the grave, but your spirit is either going to go to heaven or you're going to hell. Is this real? Talk to me, church. Is this real or fantasy? It's real. Joanne, is this real? Absolutely. Would I tell you a lie this morning? No, I would not. and it's real. If the thought of the devil and the demons scare you, then you're thinking wrong. You got to change your thinking. You got stinking thinking is what is going on. You got to change the way you're thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we got to change your thing. Children of God, you don't need to be afraid of the devil nor the demons of hell. Say amen right there. Look at Ephesians 4, 28 for a minute. Boy, y'all don't need to look at your clock. It's already 12 o'clock. Where's time going? All right, stay with me. Ephesians 4:28. Here's what I want you to see out of that verse. Ephesians 4 tells us, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here's the part I want you to understand. Neither, if you're with me, read it with me. Neither do what?
Give place
to the devil. The word place, give place, is a foothold. That implies an opportunity. Do not give the devil an opportunity to work in your life. That implies that I have a choice in the matter. I can either give him an opportunity or I cannot give him an opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, he is not so powerful that he is going to come on me and crush me. And do you remember the story with Job? What did he have to do? He had to get permission from God, didn't he? He had to get God's permission in order to touch Job. And God said, you can touch his health, you can touch his family, you can touch his wealth, but you can't kill him. And thank God this morning, if I could stand on this pew, I would. I'd say, hey, listen, thank God if the devil could have killed you, he'd already done it by now. Do you know why you're living today? Do you know why you're breathing air today? Do you know why your heart's beating today? Because there's a holy God in heaven that is governing your life. And when your time is up, it don't matter if you're in the best hospital. When your time is up, when God says to come home, you're coming home. But until that time comes, he may fight me, but he can't kill me. Amen.
Amen.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No kingdom formed against me shall stand. Boy, I can see this is going to be a two or three year right here. Keep it going with me now. Can I make a difference in my life? Absolutely. The devil would want you to believe there is nothing that you can do, that you are a helpless person, that you are a victim, that when things come upon you, when situations come upon you, and I preach to myself, when situations come upon you that are out of your control, he wants you to believe you are helpless and powerless and nothing you can do. You might as well lay down and take it. Friend, the Bible says we have power and authority over all the devils and demons of hell. We need to learn this. The devil wants you to believe that you're helpless. But he is a liar, isn't he not?
Yes.
Say that with me. He is a liar.
He is a liar.
I can make a difference. He tells you you can't do anything about the situation. Now, let's talk about just a minute here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, some Christians today believe that when temptation comes, by the way, temptation is not a sin. Temptation is an invitation to sin. But you have the power in Jesus' name to resist the devil, to say no to the temptation. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I am tempted, the Holy Ghost of heaven lets me know I've got a decision to make. And it's a split decision. In a split decision, in just a matter of seconds, you'll either decide to do it or not do it. But you have that choice to make. When we sin, we do so with our eyes wide open. Whew, boy, everybody else just walked out the door then. When we sin, we do so, Brother Craig, when you and I sin, whatever that is, we do so with our eyes wide open. The devil may be perched on your shoulder, and he might say, hey, go ahead and look at that. Go ahead and say that. Go ahead and lie about that. And at the same time, the Holy Ghost of God is saying, hey, resist him. Flee from him. Tell him to get away from you. Leave him alone. But you have a choice to make, don't you? Talk to me, church. Romans 8. Turn over there for a second. Romans 8:37. Write it down. Excuse me. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than a what? I told y'all what that means. I'm going to reiterate that. It blessed my heart. It means when you are not just a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. That means that you have the power in Jesus' name. Conqueror, yes, more than a conqueror. Utterly defeat, I mean embarrassment, I mean just slam dunk, I mean shut the door. I mean the devil has nothing on us. You're more than a conqueror through him. James 4:7. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll do what? He'll flee. Turn over to 1 Peter 5 for a minute. While you're turning there, let me explain James 4:7. Here's the key. Submit yourselves unto God. We have to learn what we have to submit to and what we have to resist. You do not want to resist the Lord. Say amen. Amen. You want to submit to the Lord. You do not want to submit to the flesh. Say amen.
Amen.
Are y'all tempted? Come on.
Yes.
If you're honest, raise your hand. Yeah. Do you face temptation every day? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgives our sins, cleanses from all unrighteousness. God has made a way to escape. We sang about this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. What you need to do is resist him, and the Bible said if you resist him, he will flee, run in terror. He is afraid of you. Is the devil afraid of you?
Amen.
If y'all want lunch today, you better, you know. Now, if you are afraid of him, he don't need to be afraid of you. But if you are walking with the Lord and you're in the Spirit, and you're living right, and you're prayed up, and you got the Holy Ghost of God inside of you, then when the devil comes, you can stand up to him, and you can look him square in the eye if you can, and say, devil, you leave my wife alone. You leave my family alone. You leave my body alone. You leave my home alone. In Jesus' name, I command you to go back where you come from.
Amen.
You know what he has to do? He has to leave. Not because of you, but because who's in you. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Is this helping anybody? 1 Peter 5:8. Look at this verse. Y'all found it? Say amen. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. Now watch this. As a roaring lion. That's important. He pretends to to be like a roaring lion. Walketh about, oh, here's another good part. Watch this. Say this with me. Seeking whom he may, what? So you know what he's doing? He's walking about, and he's looking. He's coming over to Janie. He's like, I want to devour her. But what does Janie do? In Jesus' name, stand up. Rebuke him. He's fleeing. He's got to leave. Now, what you need to understand is this. Whom he may devour. Brother Steve, he may not devour me. I'm not going to allow him to. I'm not going to give him a place. Pat, I'm not going to give him a foothold. Because if I give him a foothold, he's not going to be satisfied with the foothold, brother. He wants the rest. He wants to build a stronghold. I give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. If I give him an opening, he's going to come in with full vengeance. But here's what I want you to see. His principal tool, remember this, if you don't get nothing else, his principal tool is fear. Make you afraid. Now, according to what I've read and studied on this, they tell me that in Africa, that the old lions will get out in the open, and when there's a gazelle or another form of prey, the old lions will roar and they scare the prey. And so what the prey does, it runs. Where does it run? It runs into the tall grass. Guess who's awaiting in the tall grass? The young lions. And the young lions devour the prey. Do you know why the old lion roars? He's old and he's got bad teeth. Like some of us. His hunting days are over. So what does he do? He's a decoy. He'll get out there and he'll roar and scare the prey. Instead of running away from the roar, where is the safest place to run? Towards the roar. Amen. Instead of running away from your fears, run to your fears. Address them in Jesus' name. And the devil has to flee. The enemy uses fear. Some of you, you have different things you're afraid of. I wish every one of you, and I know perhaps some of you can't, but if you would be here with us on Sunday night, we are dealing with some of these areas in detail. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us, and here it is, the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Do you realize today that all fear is from the devil? You may have a fear. I told you all this when I was younger. When I was a youngin', I had a fear of the dark. I think my grandmother instilled that in me. I don't really remember all that, but I do remember I had a fear of the dark. And I told you all this before, but for some of you who haven't been here, every night before I'd go to bed. And this lasted, I guess, I don't know, maybe into my teen years. I guess, I remember. But my mother would come in the bedroom with a flashlight, a Rayovac flashlight, and she would get down and look under the bed. And I'd say, Mama, what are you looking for? I'm looking for bugs, crickets, any kind of, I think she's looking for the boogeyman, really. That's what I think she's looking for. but I couldn't prove it. But I had, when I was young, Brother Steve, I was afraid of the dark, and I was afraid of thunderstorms. My sister, who's probably listening right now, she loves thunderstorms. I mean, she'll sit outside under the porch or something when the lightning and the thundering going on and the rain. She loves thunderstorms. I know, strange. But anyhow, she likes thunderstorms. When I was a kid, Joanne, I was about 3, maybe. There was a thunderstorm going on. And I don't know if the lights were out. I don't know if the power had gotten knocked out or what. But we'd gone over to the window and pulled the curtain back and was looking out at the thunderstorm. And about that time, a big clap of thunder and the lightning flashed, and I turned around and I ran just as hard as I could. And I ran right into the poster bed and blacked my eye. True story. I'll put my wife on the spot right now. She does not care for spiders at all. It can be the smallest little old tiny thing, and she's like, kill it, you know, get your shoe, kill that thing. I'm like, live and let live. You know what I mean? You know, he's not bothering me. Spiders don't bother me. Snakes don't bother me. You know? As long as I got something to kill them with, amen. Here's my point. Oh, Lord help him. Oh, Lord help him. Yeah, we won't call no names out. But this verse is for you, ever who you are. God has not given me the spirit of fear of spiders. God's not given me a fear, spirit of fear of snakes. God's not given me the spirit of fear of darkness. But he has given me power. So all fear is of the enemy. Amen? The enemy wants you to be afraid. Oh, he'll come to you. He'll plant thoughts in your brain. I appreciate, and this is going to be a 2 or 3 sermon. I see it right now. I appreciate the good compliments. I really do. I mean, I see people, and they, and Brother Larry back there, different ones, and several of you in here, you know, y'all say, you know, preacher, you're looking good. And Brother Steve, I said this morning, you know, when it comes from a guy telling you you're looking good, you know, that is a compliment, I guess. About this time last year or so, I don't mind telling you now, this fellow here, he'd ask me how much I weighed. I wouldn't tell him. I was embarrassed. I didn't want nobody to know. I don't mind telling you now. This time last year, I was 416 pounds. Shock. The heaviest I ever was 430 pounds. But I was 416 pounds this time last year. And the devil would come to me, Brother Steve. I'd seen, you know, you'd lost a lot of weight. I'd seen other people. Brother Rodney, the devil come to me and he said, you know, you don't need to worry about losing any weight. You're going to die. You're going to die early. They told me down there at Duke back in 2006, you're a walking time bomb. I live with that. So you know what, Brother Steve? I believed it. And so, you know what I did? I said, might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because I'm going to die. I'm not going to live being an old man. And somewhere along the way, somewhere, God said, you can make a difference. I told my wife, a missionary friend of mine, family friend of ours, she'd went to Mexico, had this surgery. And I talked to her on Facebook, and I couldn't afford it here. But in Mexico, the cost was a fraction of what it was here. And I told my wife, I said, you know, if there'd be 40 or 50 people that'd be willing to to donate $100. I said, I'm just going to put it out there. And if they were willing to do that, then I'll have the surgery. And before long, every penny was paid for. Not only the surgery, but my plane ticket and everything else. Some people, and I'm telling you how good God is, amen. Some people, when they sent me a love gift in, it wasn't just $100. It was $500 or $1,000. And I am thankful today. Praise the Lord. I was on 2 diabetic medications, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, arthritis. I was on a bunch of medicine. You know what I take today? Vitamins. Now, here's my point. The devil come to you, and he'll say, you're going to die early. You're going to get cancer. You're going to have a stroke. You're going to have a heart attack. It runs in your family. There's nothing you can do about it. Friend, let me tell you something. That's when you need to rear up and you say, look him square in the eye, and you say, I am God's child. I belong to him. In the name of Jesus, I command you to flee. In the name of Jesus, you leave me alone. You cease and desist your operations. You have no authority in my life. Amen? Amen.